Is he truly all you want? Is he enough for you? Is he enough for me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for who you are, Lord. And God, I pray that those words that we have just sung are not just roll off our lips, Father, and that our hearts are far from that declaration. Would you help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to come to the realization that Jesus is enough. And it doesn't really matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter how bleak things look. Jesus is enough. Help us, Holy Spirit, to truly grasp the meaning of that. Oh, we love you so much. Would you just move this morning? Would you just move in power? Would you change our hearts, oh God, for your glory? We love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. How's everybody this morning? Everybody good? It's good to see everybody. I just wanted to share just briefly of my experience going to Passion. Passion 2013. I don't know if you're familiar with the Passion movement, but it's something that started in the mid-90s. There was a vision they were given to... What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about? I guess we'll get to why they're laughing in a minute, perhaps. I don't know. But I went with these guys is why they're laughing. So the movement started in the mid-90s, and there was a vision that, not maybe a vision, but several men had this vision to gather a bunch of college students together for some radical worship, sit under some biblical teaching, and then send them out to impact our culture. And that ministry has grown through the years. And this year, this was year number 18 or so, 19 maybe, and there were 60,000 college students and some of us old guys at the Georgia Dome. And we, I'll tell you what, I had an awesome time, but it was a hard week for me. You know, I like to go to bed at 10 o'clock, and I like to wake up at 6 a.m. I need 8 hours of sleep, or I'm just grumpy. And so college students, y'all stay up obviously later than 10 p.m. And but Jordan asked several of staff members to consider going back in September, latter part of September. And I've always wanted to go, and I just really sense God wanted me to do that. So I said yes before I prayed about it. And so that's a warning. Pray before you say yes. So I'm sort of committed. And so around December 1st, Jordan showed me the itinerary for the event, when we'd leave, and you know, how the event would flow. And it looked like we were going to, you know, maybe get to bed at midnight every night and get up at 6:30. So that's 6.5 hours sleep. And I thought, well, maybe I can handle that. And there were some breaks in the afternoon, like a 4.5 hour break between the afternoon session and the evening session. So I thought, well, we'd go back to the motel and we would, you know, eat, you know, together, and we would sleep, get a nap. And so I would get my 8 hours a day in somehow. And you know, I knew we were going to be in the van for a long time. I didn't know how far Atlanta was on the map. It was only like that far, but. I talked to some people. I talked to Junkwish. They had made that trip during Christmas, and he was talking 16 hours or so, and I thought, well, you know, we got to do it, so we'll do it. And so we left on the 31st of December. Day one, we were in the van for 19 and a half hours in the van. Now, there were 14 of us total, and 6 in ours and 8 in the other van. And so we got there, and we got, you know, a decent amount of sleep that night. So the next evening, Tuesday night, they had one session that started at 7:30, and so we went to got there a little early, got our tickets, wanted to get some, you know, get some decent seats. So we went and started standing in line an hour or so before the event. Well, it started raining while we were standing in line, and I had this really nice golf umbrella that's about this big that I left in the van. You know, I didn't bring it with me. So we had 4 or 5 umbrellas. We were all huddled under this umbrella. So we stood in the rain, and you know, my feet were wet, my socks were wet, my shoes were wet for 2 or 3 days after that. And this idea of us getting back to the motel about midnight was really It wasn't accurate, to be honest with you. Because we didn't realize that, well, the event was over at midnight instead of 11, but that was my fault. I was just coming to the conclusion that it was going to be 11. And so we didn't really calculate that of the 60,000 people that were there, half of them needed to ride the subway back to their motel, which we had to. So the subway system was absolutely overwhelmed with people. So the first night we got to bed about 3 a.m., 3:30, something like that. And second night was a little bit better. I finally had to sleep in one day. That was Thursday, I guess. And then we had a candlelight service Thursday night that they really caught us off guard with. I mean, it was cool. It was neat. But if I knew we were going to stand outside in the cold in 36-degree weather, wind blowing 20 miles an hour, wind chill, you know, factors in the 20s, and I would have dressed a little more appropriately if I'd have knew that was going on. So it was a hard week. It was a tough week. And I didn't tell Jordan this, but, you know, when I saw the itinerary, I was going to back out. Jordan, I was. I was just sorry I can't go, because I really didn't want to pay the price that I had to pay to really go and encounter the Lord like I felt he really wanted me to go encounter him. So what was that trip about for me? Well, I will share a little bit more about that in a little bit, but let's just get into the sermon. I'm going to continue Jeff's sermon series this morning. What if? Possibilities. Awesome. Look at this PowerPoint. You'll be impressed. Possibilities for a new year. What if I strived for holiness? What if I strived, or I strive to be holy? What if I strive to be holy? You have your notes insert. You can take notes if you'd like. What if I strive to be holy? What do you think about when we talk about being holy? I mean, is anybody in here holy? Anybody? Do you know what that means? Have you been there? Are you trying to get there? Looking at God's word, holiness, or us being holy, is really not an option. Let's look at Scripture. See what it says about it. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 through 16. The scripture will be on the screen. Thank you, Lee. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It's pretty blunt and to the point. I can't read it any other way than what it says. Now, if you look at the original language more than likely says, become holy, for I am holy. This is the part of the law, the Levitical law. The nation of Israel was challenged by God to be holy, and we are as well. Peter is quoting this to that scripture to believers. Be holy because I am holy, or become holy because I am holy. Let's look at Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, all of us are going to see the Lord someday. I mean, if I read Scripture right, that someday there's going to be a great white throne judgment, and everybody, billions of people, are going to stand before God as an individual, not as a group. He's not going to call Wiley Methodists up. You know, we're going to be standing before him as individuals, and really it's a lot of people, but we're not in any hurry because, you know, eternity is taking place. And so we'll be in line, and we'll just kind of move forward, I guess. And God is sharing our life story with us, you know, good or bad. And so we're all going to see the Lord. So I don't think this is what this means, that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But as believers in Christ, I believe if we really want to see the Lord, we have to strive for holiness. And it's not an option, church. It is not an option. And I don't know, for me, on this journey towards holiness, I don't even know where I'm at on a scale of 1 to 10, because I look at God as the example, the epitome of holiness. He's the standard. And, you know, God can't lie. God can't lust. God can't have unrighteous anger. God can't sin. And I can. And I'm supposed to be like you, God. This is the standard. How can I ever get there? How can I ever get there? Well, I've kind of had a revelation or maybe a renewal of some theology that really, really kind of struck my heart two or three weeks back. So we're going to divert just a little, but we're still on this theme of striving to be holy. I asked you a minute ago how many of you are holy. I want to ask you another question. How many of you this morning are righteous? How many of you are righteous? Nobody feels like you're righteous, Jim, Jeff, Jordan. I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand as well. I believe Scripture teaches, and please go and check me out on this. Please do that, okay? I visited with Jeff about this. I've read some theologians I really respect this week, and some that I don't really respect. But God, if I'm going to present this, which I think God really stirred my heart about presenting this idea of righteousness, God, I'm going to be on task. And Jared said that I was nervous this morning. I'm not nervous standing in front of you. I'm nervous presenting the Word of God in a way that's accurate. There's just fear and trembling rises up inside of me. I don't want to say anything that leads anybody astray. So jot down some notes. Go check this out for yourself, please. I believe God's Word teaches, and we'll look at some Scripture. I believe God's Word teaches us that we are righteous because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for us, and no other reason. And that we are no more righteous today than we will be in 20 years from now. I'm no more righteous today or less righteous than I was 22 years ago when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I believe God's Word teaches that. Let's look at some Scripture to perhaps back that up. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jot these down, please. Go back and read them. Meditate on this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I love that verse. I'm going to read it again. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, 21 and 22. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. We take on his righteousness. Our righteousness are as filthy rags, God's Word says. We take on his righteousness. Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Righteousness, I believe, is a gift. When we're born again in Christ Jesus, we take on his righteousness. It's imputed towards us. Romans 6, 18-19. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Righteousness leading to holiness. We're slaves to righteousness. Now if I'm understanding Scripture right, then my starting point on this journey towards holiness is me being righteous in Christ. You know, for years I tried to be righteous on my own. I tried to do enough good things, but when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord, then I believe I took on his righteousness. And so as I move forward towards holiness, righteousness is the starting point. And I don't have to go way back here. I believe God's Word teaches us, I don't have to go way back here and claw and scratch and try to work my way up to righteousness myself to where I can move on to holiness in Almighty God. So for me, the starting point just frees me to say, well, God, you said I can be holy, or you want me to be holy. God doesn't set us up for failure, church. If he tells us to be holy, he's not going to sit back and laugh at us as we struggle for the rest of our lives to be holy. He's just not that way. So, you know, maybe it's attainable if I start right here in the righteousness of Christ. Agree, disagree? Amen. Oh me. Amen. All right, if you feel comfortable saying this with me, I want you to allow the words to roll off your lips. I am righteous. Say that with me. I am righteous. I say it again. I am righteous. One more time. I am righteous because of what Christ has done for us, not because of anything we can manufacture ourselves. And I hope that's liberating for you. I think I understand God's. Jeff, am I okay? Are we on task, my friend? The righteousness of Christ. That's the starting point. Second point of the sermon is striving to be holy takes great sacrifice. Striving to be holy takes great sacrifice. As a matter of fact, striving to be holy goes against everything that we really want to do as people. The purpose for my trip to Atlanta, again, it was a hard week, and I'm not looking for sympathy. Please, I made the decision. I didn't pray about it. Remember, I just went, and so I'm not looking for sympathy. But it was a hard week for me, and I was exposed to rap music, and I didn't die. And the college kids, they taught me this little move. I don't know if I can do it. I'm too embarrassed. But anyway, you put your hand up like this, okay, and do like that, and then you just do a little counterclockwise rotation. But the rap artist was Lecrae, and it's not my thing. I'm sorry, it's just not my thing. But he did say something that really stuck with me. And God just gave me a glimpse of His glory through this artist. I'm gonna put it in personal terms. Billy, I allow your wretched lips to praise my glorious name. Wow. That's all understood. That's all understood. And I learned that little thing there. But I suffered, and I don't know if all of you guys know this, but I suffered some temporary hearing loss from the music. Now, I grew up in the 70s, and I'll tell you what, the louder the better. And I've been in some pretty loud venues, and the music was pretty loud. But I noticed on Thursday, it sounded like my head was underwater. And if people were talking to me, and I wasn't ignoring you guys, I really wasn't, because I told Jordan afterwards, I said, Jordan, I had some hearing loss from the event. And it took about 10 days for my hearing to fully come back. And he said, well, people thought you were just rude or tired or something. So if I wasn't staring right at somebody having a conversation with me, I really couldn't hear. So I apologize if you thought I was being rude. But it was just a hard week for me. But during that week, God just gave me little glimpses of His glory, and I think He moved me a little closer towards holiness. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know where I'm at. Maybe I'm at a 2 or a 2.7. I really don't know, but I'm trying to be intentional, allowing God to move me that direction. And we have to put ourselves, church, in positions to where He can move us that way. We do. We have to be intentional about that. And striving to be holy takes great sacrifice. I had an encounter with the Lord on Thursday evening. It was pretty profound for me. And another long day. This is Thursday, and so Thursday evening they were going to dismiss the entire group to after the evening session, which was over at 10:30. So they dismissed the entire group to what they call community groups. There were 21 or 22 different groups that they put the kids and the leaders in. I was in the leaders group, which there were 6,000 or 7,000 of us in a group. And they dismissed everybody to community groups. And then in that 6,000 or 7,000 member group that I was in, they would pair you up with seven other people in groups of eight. And it was phenomenal. Within 2 minutes, they had that done. It was incredible how they did that. But they were going to dismiss us to the evening group. And they asked that night that we would honor the Lord and spend that time in silence, just meditating on the things of the Lord. Meditating on what God had done that day, maybe the speakers that day. And we were up in the upper tier, the third level, And so they were going to dismiss us last. And you don't just let 60,000 people go at one time or it's chaos. So they just released people slowly. And we had about 15 minutes of silence before that. And then they dismissed people slowly over the next probably 30 or so minutes. And I remember we were up on the, like I said, the upper level. And we were sitting on the front row. And I just needed to get out of my seat. And so I stood up and I turned around and I leaned against this railing that kept, which was a great idea, by the way, that kept people from falling over to the lower level. And so I just leaned back that and I was just meditating on the goodness of God. And I was overwhelmed by how he felt about me. That he was proud of me. He loved me. And I just couldn't help think about how good he is. And tears were just streaming down my face, and I was kind of caught up in my own little world for a little bit there, and then finally I kind of got my bearings, and all around me I could just hear people weeping all around me, and I just opened my eyes and looked, and people were just overcome by the goodness of the Lord. Now, you may say, well, Billy, you were just caught up in emotion. Well, no, I wasn't. I was caught up in the goodness of the Lord. And I can't manufacture that. And you can't have everybody manufacturing that at the same time. God's presence was so strong. And poor little sweet gal behind me, snot just pouring out of her nose. I wanted to say, would you wipe your nose, please? That is so gross. But she was just weeping before the Lord. And, you know, I thought, if I would have been so selfish of not wanting to pay the price to go to Atlanta, Georgia, to encounter, I would have missed that. And I would have missed God moving me maybe perhaps a little, maybe 0.1% closer to holiness. Now, we don't have to go to Atlanta, Georgia to encounter the holiness of the Lord. But it does take great sacrifice. And that great sacrifice for some people may just be turning the TV set off and picking your Bible up. Now tell me if that's not difficult. Is that hard? Is that really hard? To forgo something to pray. Get up a little bit earlier, God. Sacrifice a little sleep. Go to bed a little earlier just to pray. Striving to be holy takes great sacrifice. How many know who Francis Chan is? Anybody know who Francis Chan? Great, great author, great man of God. I think I've got just a minute to share this story. Francis Chan was a pastor of a very large church in California. 8,000-10,000 people, perhaps, and has written several books. Great, solid man of God. And he felt that God was calling him, and he didn't put this in terms, but it's like God was calling him towards holiness, a deeper walk with him. And so he stepped down from his church. I mean, successful pastor. Every college student that's a believer knows who Francis Chan is. I mean, he really relates to that younger generation. And he felt like God wanted him to step down from his church. And then he felt his house was too big. So he downsized his home. I mean, his income was slashed. And he shared with us, I guess maybe Wednesday morning, just a humble man of God in our community group that morning. He said, this is his church. Okay, he went from a pastor of an 8,000 to 10,000 member church. He meets with 100 people on Sunday afternoons, 100 people. And I guess he's their pastor. And they pray. They sing a little bit, 5 minutes. He teaches for 5 minutes. And then they go out in the community and they love on people. They pray for God to heal people. And he said it's been the most fabulous year of his life. Striving for holiness for him took great sacrifice. Striving for holiness for any of us takes great sacrifice. Well, what's in it for me? I mean, we're that kind of society, and it that doesn't really matter. But let's go ahead and talk about rewards. Striving to be holy has great rewards. Striving to be holy has great rewards. That didn't make it on the screen, Lee, but I forgive you, my friend. That was point number 3. All right, let's look at some scripture. Striving to be holy has great rewards. And without faith, is Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, God's word also says, diligently seek him. He's the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. The kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So the rewards is God himself. The rewards for striving to be holy, making this great sacrifice, is more joy and more peace. You know, I've experienced more joy in this last month than I have in years. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for what God has done. And I've shared with you guys before, I have to struggle to attain joy. I have to work for it. It comes natural for some people. But for me, I have to work at it. Carlene just... Well, enough said. I mean, she's smiling in her sleep. I mean, it's just like, I'm thinking, what's up with you? I have to work for that. Great reward in striving to be holy. And, you know, I'm just going to get honest, church, with you guys. There's several reasons, I believe, that two things maybe that kind of keep us, well, three things that keep us from striving to be holy. And I think one of them is just, we just don't know. We just don't understand. That's what maybe God wants us to do. The second thing is that we're deceived by the enemy, that we bought into a lie that all we're going to be for the rest of our life are just a puddle of mush. And maybe perhaps I will enter into the kingdom of God someday. I'm never going to amount to anything. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, so don't embrace that. And I think the third reason is that we just resist it. We just rebel against it. We don't really want to pay the price to be holy. I know what your word says, God. It says, be holy because I am holy. But I don't really want to do that. And I've been through that. And God's word says that rebellion in any form or fashion is as the same as witchcraft. In God's eyes, rebellion is the same as witchcraft. And so if I'm guilty of rebellion, does that mean I'm guilty of witchcraft as well? Does that mean I might as well just bring into this church or bring into my home? Do I just bring crystal balls and tarot cards and Ouija boards and set them up on the altar perhaps? Because, God, I really don't want to strive for holiness. I don't care what your word says. And instead of maybe trying to pray over each other and encourage each other with their future, why don't we just kind of start reading each other's palms? I mean, my goodness, if we're going to be rebellious against God's command. Now, I love you as I say that, but that's God's word. I can imagine holiness looking like several things in people's lives, and in my life as well. I think if a man was to strive for holiness, he would be maybe perhaps more gentle towards his wife, that he would love his wife more. Maybe perhaps even love his wife like Christ loves the church. And maybe issues like lust and pornography wouldn't even be an issue if a man strived to be holy. And for a woman, perhaps, I'm not a woman, I'm just thinking here, okay? What would it look like in the life of a woman? Well, I think maybe perhaps that inner longing that women have, and I read some stuff, to feel... To feel this longing in their heart with romance novels and soap operas and forgive me, ladies, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Because, you know, I know they have these overnight dates, and I'm not thinking they're playing Scrabble all night long. I mean, is that really pleasing to God? Is that really pleasing to God? And maybe that longing, maybe striving for holiness, that longing that's driving that will be satisfied by God Himself. And for you college students, I raised a college student, and I've witnessed her friends, and I know you guys made you established some values early on, and you said, you know, I'm never going to cross this line. But when you get out of the house, I know it's difficult. And you may have established a value. I'm never going to drink. I'm never going to get drunk. I'm never going to have sex outside of marriage. And if a college student strive for holiness, I believe you would maybe be able to. They would be able to cling to those a little more deeply through the college years. Because I've seen compromise. I've seen it with my daughter, her friends. I've been there. And in youth, I don't know. I know what you guys may go through. Y'all back there, youth. Y'all back there. All right. There's a few of them back there listening this morning. You know, it's hard growing up, and people make fun of youth all the time. I've been there. I was easy to be made fun of when I was a youth, to be honest with you. And so people make fun of other people because they really feel lousy about who they are, but it makes them feel better about themselves when they make fun of somebody else. But if youth were to strive for holiness, that really wouldn't matter. What would really matter is how God felt about you. That you're precious in His sight. And you may have a good mom and dad. You may not have such a good mom or dad. But what really matters is how God feels about you as your father. Church, I believe if we were to strive for holiness, my goodness, my life would be different. Your life would be different. The life of this church would be extravagantly different. And I believe we can impact our culture for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I love you. God, it's not my heart to be offensive this morning. Father, if anything offends this morning, I pray that it's your word and your truth. Oh, God, would you help us, help me to understand what you really want me to look like as your son. God, change us for your glory. Oh, God, we love you, we trust you, and we need you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand and worship with us. I'd love to pray with you. If you need to pray about anything, the altar is open as well. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
take my heart.
Take my heart and fall in. Take my mind and fall in. Take my will and fall in. To yours, to yours, oh Lord. Holiness, holiness is what I long for.
Okay, I need everybody to repeat after me. I love Billy Crimm. All right. I hope that makes you feel better, because that makes me feel a lot better. You know, church, God's such a God of grace and such a God of love. He loves us right where we're at. He just wants us to be like He wants us to be. He wants us to move in a holy direction. Let's strive together to surrender to Him and move that direction. Can we do that? Wherever we're at. I want to remind you that if you need prayer about anything this morning, the staff will be here and we'll have some prayer people here as well to pray with you, the prayer team, the blue tag team. Just find us at the altar if you want to slip away over into the cry room, the quiet room over there. Do that. Somebody will come meet you over there. And don't leave this place until you have prayed, been prayed for, if you have that desire. God bless you. May His countenance shine upon you this week. Be a blessing to someone else. Have a great week.
Take my heart.